Bibles. Take your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Hebrews. While you're turning there, let me say it's good. So good to see you all here today. So good to see Chris Ann. Chris Ann, I've had three people ask me about you this morning. How are you doing, Chuck? So it's good to see you. It sure is. But we're glad to have you all. If you're visiting with us, God bless you. Appreciate you coming. Hope you'll come back every chance you can. Book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Chapter 10. Going to be preaching about something today that I have never preached about my entire ministry. And yet it's something that's so important, something we take for granted, and something that really we are, some are losing today. And that is assurance. We sang that song a while ago, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. As we are living in these troublesome times, beloved, folks are losing their assurance. And this is what this message is all about. Title of my message is Hold to Your Assurance. Hold to Your Assurance. Look in your Bibles with me, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading with verse 35. And the Bible says, Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I want to draw your attention to verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. And that word confidence means boldness. It means assurance. Cast not away your assurance. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and Thy grace. Thank You, Father God, for our choir and God, the way they blessed our hearts. God, as they sang and reminded us, God, of all the blessings You've given to us. We thank You, God, for those who've come to this house today. And God, You know everyone. And God, You know every need. And Lord, You love everyone, God, with an unconditional love. So God, as You see our needs and You love us so, God, we pray that, Lord, You'll meet needs in this house this morning. God, maybe there's someone here that's lost. And God, they need to be saved. Maybe there's someone here, God, who is following afar off. And God, they need to draw nigh to You. Maybe, God, there's someone here today hurting. Someone, God, whom the troubles and trials are bringing doubts into their mind. Oh, God, help us all, everyone, to hold to that assurance. And God, we'll give You the praise and the glory for it all. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Way back in 1971, when I got saved, there was a Christian song that was very popular. And it went something like this. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear is now is at stake. Humbling your heart to God saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Oh, beloved, you know, as I thought about those words, how those words fit today, fit what we are going through now. Folks, these are troublesome times, amen? Amen. These are, beloved, fearful times. These are times of trial and testing for the Christian. And you know, it's at times like this that Satan, beloved, does a tap dance on the faith of Christians. I mean, when we, beloved, see wickedness abound on every side, when we see ungodliness, beloved, encroaching upon us, when we see good called evil and evil called good, when we behold, beloved, the whole world sliding into the abyss, that's when Satan whispers to the Christian's heart, I'm winning. I'm overcoming your God. I'm destroying Christianity. The battle is mine. The victory is mine, he whispers to the Christian heart. And our hearts fail us for fear. And we begin to wonder. And we begin to doubt. Is it true? Is the Bible really true? Is Satan winning? Is evil going to triumph? I mean, folks, look at this world that we're living in. It is such a mess. Amen. We see it on every side. Look at the blindness of the masses, beloved. They're blinded by their own sin. Look at the state of our schools and the state of our leaders and the state of our communities and the state of our nation. Abortion, fornication, substance abuse, evolution, war, murder, theft, lies, vice, evil, wickedness, beloved, has gripped the hearts and souls of men the world over, it seems. And things just keep getting worse and worse and worse. And doubts begin to flood our soul. Begin to flood our soul. As the world, beloved, beckons to us. And the world says, Christian, put down your Bible and pick up Playboy. Christian, listen, turn from your ancient God and bow to our new idols. Christian, listen, join with us. Come on, be one of us. And a lot of folks who call themselves Christians or have called themselves Christians are doing just that. Are doing just that. Beloved, listen to me. None of this should surprise us. See, it's Satan's job to put doubts in your mind. He's good at it. He's good at it. It shouldn't surprise us because God said it would be this way just before the Lord comes back. It shouldn't surprise us, beloved, because evil, listen to me, evil must run its course, beloved. That's what the tribulation is about. The cup of iniquity has got to be filled. But still, these doubts come into our minds, don't they? Don't they? Talk to me. Come on, help me out this morning. Sure they do. The writer of Hebrews, listen to me, he knew, beloved, these times were coming before Jesus returns. He knew, beloved, that we'd be tried and tested and tempted and tested. He knew, beloved, that doubts would arise amongst God's people as the end draws nearer and nearer and as sin abounds. So he gave us this warning in the book of Hebrews, talking to Hebrew Christians. He said, cast not away your confidence. Cast not away your boldness, your assurance. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. He said, listen, no matter how bad things get, no matter how it looks, no matter how terrible the world becomes, don't cast away your assurance. Don't cast away your assurance. In other words, as you see evil abound just before Jesus returns, don't cast away your assurance. Hold to it. Stand firm in it. Don't cast it away. That's what God is admonishing us to do in this scripture. So let me ask you, how are we doing? How are we doing? We who are living, beloved, in the last minutes of the last days. We, beloved, who are facing perilous, perilous times. We, beloved, who are seeing the world, beloved, wax worse and worse before our very eyes. How are we doing concerning our confidence, our assurance? Let me ask you, do you still have confidence? Do you still have assurance in the Word of God? In the Word of God. Amen. Oh, Christian, you better. You better. Listen to me. If you've got any spiritual perception at all, if you've got any spiritual understanding whatsoever, listen to me. Your confidence in God's Word should be growing. Should be growing. Somebody says, growing, preacher? Why should it be growing? Look, preacher, the Muslims are having their way. Look, preacher, the liberals have taken over so many churches. Look, preacher, abortion and gay marriage is the law of the land. See what's going on, preacher. Look, preacher, our schools teach evolution. Look, preacher, our society mocks at God and mocks at the Bible. Preacher, the lowest thing you can be today is a fundamental Bible-believing Christian. And I say, yeah, I know. Ain't it wonderful? Ain't it wonderful? Somebody says, preacher, what's wonderful about it? Listen, it's wonderful because, beloved, that goes along perfectly with God's plan. With God's plan. It's wonderful because, beloved, that is exactly how God said it would be in His Word just before Jesus comes back. It's wonderful, beloved, because Jesus is coming soon. Whoa, He's coming. Any moment, any time. He's coming. It's wonderful because all we're seeing that's going on today, beloved, listen to me, verifies that God's Word is absolutely true. Absolutely true. And hey, if that part is true, that part about salvation is true, amen? And that part, beloved, about victory is true, amen? And that part, beloved, about heaven is true. Amen. And that part about God's judgment is true. Amen. Wow, listen. It's all true. It's all true. It's all true. Beloved, what we're seeing doesn't prove God's Word to be untrue. What we're seeing today, beloved, proves His Word to be absolutely true. Because God said this is how it would be. This is how it would be. Listen, if you know God's Word, especially eschatology, the study of end times, beloved, listen, you know things are going today, listen, the things that are going on today, all the evil, all the lies, all the graft, all the wickedness done by men and governments is absolute proof. God's Word is true. It's true. See, if you know the Word of God, you know God's got a plan. Amen? God's got it all mapped out. That plan, beloved, was, listen, it was to send His Son to die for the sins of the world. God said, I'll send my Son, I'll send my only begotten, and He came in a body of flesh. And God said, He'll die in our place. God said, He'll rise from the dead the third day. And all that will believe on Him will become sons of God. And by the new birth, they'll be born into the family of God. Amen. Well, Jesus did that, amen? Come on, talk to me, amen? I'm going to get you shouting yet. Jesus did all of that. And then 50 days later, the second part of God's plan, beloved, took place. See, on the day of Pentecost, God sent the Holy Ghost down. And beloved, the church was born. Now, we've been in the second phase of His plan for 2,000 years. For the Bible tells us, beloved, and not only the Bible, but history tells us that for the last 2,000 years, beloved, through the witness of the church, God has been calling out a people, calling out a bride for Christ. Folks have been getting saved and are getting saved. Amen. God's been calling out a people for Him. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely, the Bible says. But one day, listen to me, one day very soon, that bride, the church, beloved, is going to be complete. And beloved, when that happens, Jesus is coming back in the rapture. And He's going to take this church out. Going to take believers out. The dead in Christ shall rise. And we that are alive and remain will be caught up to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It could happen any moment, anytime. Anytime. It could happen before this service is over. The trump of God could sound. Beloved, that will bring us to the third part of His plan. You see, once all the believers are caught up to be with the Lord, then, beloved, all those who rejected Christ, all those unbelievers are going to be left behind. And the Holy Spirit, beloved, that restrains Satan and restrains the devil is going to be taken away. And beloved, Satan and the devil is going to have his way on this earth. For 7 years, God's going to let them have their way. For 7 years. We call it the tribulation. Antichrist will come on the scene, the Bible tells us. The ultimate politician. He'll come, beloved, lying, full of lies and deceit. The false prophet will come on the scene, the ultimate false religious leader, beloved. And the world that rejected Christ's rule, beloved, for the rule of man and the devil, will get what they wanted. They'll get Antichrist and Satan. And the world, beloved, that rejected God's salvation, beloved, will have a false religion that they can bow down to and make themselves feel good. For 7 years, Antichrist and the false prophet will lead this world into chaos and anarchy, and God's judgments will fall. Check out the book of Revelation. And we're about that far from it. Just about, in fact, we're a twinkle of an eye from it. Because when the rapture happens, we're going to be gone in the twinkling of an eye. And then it's going to come. Then it's going to come. Then after 7 years of tribulation, listen. Christ will come back with His saints. And He'll defeat Antichrist. And He'll set up His throne. That's God's plan, beloved. As written in His Word. Now, here we are today. At the end of the church age. I mean, beloved, the trumpet could sound any moment and we'd be caught up. And the tribulation is about to begin. Of course things are getting worse, beloved. Antichrist is about to appear. This world, beloved, has to be ready to receive Antichrist. And that's what we're seeing. Beloved, God's getting this world ready for Antichrist. Of course, false religions are prospering. Liberalism, cults, Catholicism, mysticism. Of course, the Muslims, beloved, are prospering. Listen, they're all getting ready for the false prophet that's coming. They're getting ready. They're getting ready. Governments, all the governments of the world, beloved, will be under control of Antichrist. No wonder the governments of the world are full of wickedness and confusion and chaos because they're getting ready for the world leader, Antichrist. What was that just a few years ago? One world leader said, give us a man who can bring peace and we'll follow him, be he God or devil. Brethren, God's getting this world ready for Antichrist.
Amen.
See, the stage is set for Antichrist to step in. To step in. Look around you, folks. See what's happening around you, beloved. Compare what you're seeing, beloved, to the Word of God. Listen, if you do that, you'll know God's Word is absolutely true. Don't cast aside your confidence, your assurance in God's Word, because of what's happening around us. Instead, beloved, increase your confidence and increase your assurance. God's word is being verified right before our eyes. Turn those fans on. Y'all mind? Anybody mind? Turn the fans on if you would back there, Leonard. How about this? Do you still have confidence in God's power? You still have confidence in God's... Somebody says, preacher, how can I? How can I? I mean, preacher, where is the power of God today? Christians are being harassed and persecuted and even killed the world over, and God does nothing. Preacher, the Muslim religion is taking over. They're taking over the world. They're taking over Great Britain. And now, beloved, they got their eyes and they got a hold in America.
Amen.
They're taking over. Preacher, I prayed for abortion to end, and it hasn't. Preacher, I prayed for America to have revival, and it hasn't happened. Preacher, I prayed for evolution to be shown for the lie that it is, but it hasn't happened. Where's the power of God, preacher? Where's the power of God? I'll tell you where it is. It's where it's always been. It's in the hand of a sovereign God who uses it as he wills for his purpose and his glory. Now follow me close, folks. God's power is just as real as it was when he commanded the sun to stop for Joshua. To stop in the sky. God's power is just as powerful, beloved, as when he created this universe. God's power is just as awesome as it was, beloved, when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But God don't use his power arbitrarily. Beloved, God uses his power when it pleases him. God uses his power, beloved, when it will bring the most glory to him. God uses it when it suits his purpose, not yours and not mine, but his purpose. Boy, it got quiet in here then. You see, it's a question of timing. Of timing. Let me show you what I mean. You all remember a man in the Bible named Lazarus? He was a good, good friend of Christ, and Christ loved him. Amen?
Amen.
One day, they sent the Lord word. Lazarus was sick. And beloved Jesus, now Jesus had the power of God. And he could have run to Lazarus' side, and beloved Lazarus would have been healed just like that. And he would have never died. But Jesus tarried. He tarried, beloved. He waited. Now, no doubt while the Lord was waiting, Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, they were praying and praying and crying and saying, oh, Lord, please come. Come now. Come now. We know you can heal him. Come now. Well, finally, Lazarus died. And oh, it hurt Mary. And it hurt Martha so. And then, beloved, they buried him. And he'd been dead 4 days. And then Jesus arrived. Jesus came on the scene and Mary ran out to meet him and she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would have lived. Jesus went to the house and Martha came up to him and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would be alive right now. Jesus said, where have you laid him? And they took him, beloved, to that tomb. And Jesus said, roll the stone away. And they said, no, Lord. No, he's been dead 4 days. Lord, by now he smells. We can't move that stone. Jesus said, roll the stone away. They rolled that stone away. And Jesus looked in the mouth of that tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And beloved, that man that had been dead for 4 days, by the power of God, listen, walked out of that tomb. And I got a feeling he might have even in them grave clothes might have just done a little bit of that, you know, and started praising God. See, he won't Baptist. He'd have said, whoa, thank you, Jesus. He started praising God. Let me tell you something. Beloved, Mary and Martha learned something that day. They learned 2 things. They learned, first of all, God has his time. And beloved, he is never late. Amen. He does it in his time. And they also learn, beloved, how mighty is the power of God. Listen, beloved, there's nothing that God cannot do. There's nothing that God cannot accomplish. There's no situation that God can't make right. And he's never late. He's never late. He's never late. I don't think they ever doubted his power. Or doubted how he used his power again. They learned something. Boy, we need to learn that, folks. Listen to me. You keep on praying. Keep on praying for this country. Keep on praying for the persecutions to end. Keep on praying for revival. Keep on praying for this nation. Keep on praying for your lost loved ones. But don't you ever doubt the power of God. Because if you pray in faith, if you pray believing according to his will, listen to me, he will answer every prayer by his great power. Boy, I miss Miss Bonnie. Because she'd be looking at me right now grinning and saying, woo! God will do it in his time. God will do it his way. And his time and ways are always best. Come on, folks. Talk to me a little bit. I feel like I'm dying up here. Where's the power of God today? Let me tell you about the prayers he's answered for this old boy. Amen. I can tell you about his power. Where's the power of God today, preacher? Let me tell you about a little old lady that lives right outside of Pine Tops that has faced death more times than I can count. But every time she looks up at God and says, oh, everything's going to be all right. I know that God's going to make it all right. Talking about Miss Penny, a walking miracle. Let me tell you about the power of God. Beloved, where is it? I see it every time a soul comes to this altar and gets gloriously saved by the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
I see it, beloved. Listen, I see it and I see the power of God today in many of you that I have prayed for, that God would help you to grow in faith and grow in knowledge. And I see you walking closer and closer and closer to God. And I say, whoa, that's the power of God right there. That's the power of God. Oh, listen. You doubt your ability. That's fine. Doubt yourself. Doubt your own strength and your own power, but never, never, never doubt the power of God.
Amen.
God's power will be made manifest in his time. You see, I read the end of the book, And beloved, the truth is, the Bible tells us he's coming back in power and great glory. And in his power, he'll destroy this wicked world. He'll destroy Antichrist and the false prophet. He'll grab hold of that old serpent, the devil. The Lord's going to become a snake handler. Grabs hold of that old serpent, the devil, and cast him into the lake of fire. Excuse me, the bottomless pit. Later on, the lake of fire. Oh, listen, have confidence in the power of your God. A God that loves you and has promised to hear and answer your prayers. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Do you still have confidence in the rewards of heaven? In the rewards of heaven. Oh, listen, you know it gets hard down here, don't it? I mean, the wickedness of this world, the sickness. Sickness of the world, beloved, breaks our bodies. The wickedness of the world breaks our heart. The troubles and the trials of this world breaks our spirit. And sometimes we say, what's the use? What's the use? I try to live for God, but troubles and trials come. I try to obey Him, but sickness comes. I try to honor Him, but death and sorrows come. Yes, they do. But folks, that's part of this world, this old sin-cursed world we live in. That's part of it. Oh, but listen to me. God has told us there's another place that He's going to prepare for us who believe. A place, beloved, where, listen, the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the things that God has prepared for us. Whoa! You get that? Brethren, what He's got is so better than this world. It's so far above it. This world ain't even worth thinking about. Ain't even worth thinking about. God has told us of a place where there is no sickness, no heart disease, no cancer. There is no sorrow. There is no hurt. There is no pain. There is no weeping. There is no sorrow. Christ has told us of a place that He's going to prepare. A place of mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know He's got a mansion for you?
Amen.
Praise God, man. I'm telling you. I'll guarantee you, if I took this one, anybody in this house out and took you down one of these dirt roads, took you to the very end of it, and there was a huge mansion, and I said, listen, that's yours. You can have it. You would sit there. You wouldn't just, oh. What would you do? Tell me what you do, Baptist. What would you do? That's, come on, do it one time. Whoa! Do it. One, two, three. Whoa! That's what you do. You'd be like them commercials you see with, what is it, Publishers Clearing House. Man, I can see you right now. Open that door and there stands that big check and that guy. Whoa! 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 I'm a wholeness today. Whoa! And I'm telling you, God's got a mansion for you. And you say, oh, let me tell you. Listen to me. There's streets of gold. We're going to walk on. I'm going to jump. Y'all watch out. There's gates of pearl. We're going to walk through. There's walls of jasper, beloved. And that city gleams like a jewel, beloved, in the heavens. Listen to me. There's a river of life that pours from the throne of God Himself. There's your old mama, your old daddy, your old sister, your old brother, your old grandpa, grandma. And they're standing there waiting with open arms to receive you. And most of all, there's the Lamb that was slain with the nail print still in his hand that died for you, that you might have glory forever. Forever. And we'll never hunger there. And we'll never thirst. And we'll never be sick or no sorrow or sadness. And we'll never want and never hurt and never cry and never sigh. Because there is everything that you and I could ever want or ever need. And all fear is gone. And all dread and all worry, and there's peace and joy forevermore. You say, preacher, that sounds too good to be true. That sounds too wonderful to imagine. And it is. In fact, the Bible says, for I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love. You can't even imagine it. No matter how good you try to, or you try to imagine it to be, I can't begin to tell you how heaven will be. I can only tell you what God has said. And beloved, God is true. Lost confidence in the rewards of heaven, Christian? Have you lost confidence? How can I? Not when God has promised it. How can I? Lost confidence in the rewards of heaven. Not, beloved, when I pass the cemeteries and I'm reminded of death. Not, beloved, when I get up in the morning with the aches and the pains and the sorrows and the sadness. But not when, beloved, I see when my heart, beloved, longs for it so. Not when I think about my Father. Who's there now? No, I haven't lost confidence. I haven't lost confidence. Or I think about Miss Geraldine. And I think about Miss Beeman. Think about Miss Jean. Not when I think about Ginger's mama. Listen. I ain't going to lose confidence in heaven. Ain't no way. Because if I do, you know why? You don't have nothing left. You don't have nothing left. You don't have nothing left. I believe it. I cling to it. I yearn for it. I look with anticipation to the day when I'll see my Lord. And walk through those gates. And walk through those gates. And listen. The worse this world gets, the sweeter heaven gets to me. Amen? The sweeter it gets. Cast not aside your confidence in God's word, in God's power, in God's reward. Because all we're seeing, beloved, all we're beholding in this world just verifies God's word, God's power, and God's reward. And makes them seem more precious to us. Let Satan whisper, I'm winning. I'm winning. You're losing. Evil is abounding. Let him spill his lies, beloved. I've got victory. Woo! Yes. I've got Jesus is winning the power. His power will prevail. And the rewards of heaven are mine. Yeah. They're mine. Let me ask you, are they yours? Are you casting away your confidence in God's word, God's power, God's reward. Folks, it's all you can count on. Hold to your blessed assurance. Remember the song I mentioned in the beginning? Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedoms we all hold dear now are at stake. Well, listen to the chorus to that song. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies. Heavenward bound.
Amen.
Heavenward bound.
Amen.
Hold on to your assurance. Hold on. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe you're here today and you have no assurance because you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never said yes to Jesus. He loves you and died for you. And now His Holy Spirit is calling you to be saved. We invite you to come. You come to this altar. We'll show you what you have to do to have blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian. You've got a need. You've got a problem. You've got a trial. Oh, let that blessed assurance take over. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've had my doubts. I've seen so much evil and wickedness in this world. But I renew that assurance right now with God's help. I renew it. And I want to thank Him. I want to praise Him for all that He's done for me and all that He's going to do, because His word is true and His power is real. And my rewards are waiting." We invite you to come. Would you stand with us, heads bowed and eyes closed? We invite you to come right now. Won't you come? Won't you come? Come with these that are coming. Come with these that are coming. Won't you come? Won't you come? This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Maybe you just want to come and praise Him and thank Him and love Him. We invite you to come. Won't you come? Won't you come? God loves each and every one of you here. Everyone at this altar, everyone in your seat, God loves you so much. So much. So much. You may be seated, heads bowed and eyes closed. Thank God for the moving of His Holy Spirit in these who've come. And I wonder if there's somebody at this altar or in this church, and you would say, "Preacher, I want to get saved. I want to know. I want to know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven." If you just lift your hand, we'll come to you. We won't embarrass you. We'll pray with you and show you how to receive Christ. Anyone, anywhere. Anyone, anywhere. Anyone, anywhere. I wonder if there's somebody at this altar. Oh. Amen. Amen. I wonder if there's somebody at this altar. And you say, preacher, I want somebody to pray with me one-on-one. I have a need. I have a burden. And you don't have to share the burden if you don't want to. You just want somebody to pray with you. Would you lift your hand? And we'll pray with you one-on-one. One-on-one. Okay. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this time. Travis.